Welcome to The Sync Report, the intersection between independent filmmakers and songwriters, where we host a weekly conversation with award-winning filmmakers, marquee musicians, and leading music industry professionals. Meet industry experts and top-level songwriters as we pull the curtain back on music placement and scores, building vital relationships and providing real opportunities to our listeners. Listen to indie filmmakers present their latest productions and describe specific scenes as they consider music submitted by you, our audience. Hosted by music supervisor and former Sony Epic executive Jason P. Rothberg, along with your co-host and the godmother of indie films, Rose Ganguza. Music is the difference between a good film and a great one. Don't forget, tell your friends about us and remember to rate, comment and subscribe to The Sync Podcast on Apple and across all platforms. So Kevin, the strippers are coming, right? You said if I said that they would be. Are we still on?
Yeah, I got the memo. I'm on my way, Milfredo. Cop or nurse, how do you want me?
Hello, it's Craig Ross, and you're listening to The Sync Report.
Jackie!
You know, I couldn't figure out how to unmute my microphone, and it's so easy, you know, susceptible easy. I'm funny, but I'm not very smart.
You got to put the glasses on, Jackie.
I know. There's a guy who's a musician. He's not making any money. He's not doing very well, and his friend calls up and says, "Hey, man, I need some music for a movie I'm doing. You want to sell me some music?" He says, "Sure." He says, "You don't need to know, just any music." So the musician records some music and sends it to his friend. He doesn't hear from him. A month later, he calls up his friend and says, "Listen, man, I want to see this movie with my music in it." The guy says, "Well, I got to tell you the truth. It's a porn flick. And, you know, it's only playing in one really ratty theater down in Greenwich Village." He says, "I don't care. I want to see it." So he tells him where it's playing. He goes down to this ratty theater in Greenwich Village. He goes into this porn theater, and the place is empty, except for a little old couple sitting there. So he sits down. The movie starts. A guy and a girl come out. Next thing you know, they're naked, and they're banging each other every way to eat every end to nowhere. They're just banging and screwing and eating and slobbering. Next thing you know, a golden retriever comes out.
Oh my God.
And all of a sudden, the golden retriever is banging the girl. The guy's humping the golden retriever. The three of them are going wild. They're going nuts. And the guy is getting really embarrassed. And he turns to the little old couple. He says, "Listen, this is my music." And the little old lady says, "We're here to see our dog."
So bad, so brilliant. Oh, Jackie, thank
you. All right, guys,
you.
I'll see you later. I want to hear the reviews. I hope everybody enjoyed the show.
Welcome to The Sync Report.
Yes, this is The Sync Report. Thank you, Willow. No cooler intro than having Jackie the Joke Man Martling on to make us all giggle. Now let's get into the show. Wait, what do I see? I think Sean is on stage. Sean, are you in a plane? Sean Hurwitz, I don't know. Sean, first of all, I don't know how he's actually tapping in. This is incredible. But again, we have so many people. Rose, are you going to take the day off Sunday? Or are you going to join, listen to some music?
I may tap in for a bit to listen to what you guys have.
Amazing. Oh, that's very good. The audience cares more about you than me when it comes to listening to their songs. I promise you.
I know.
So what a week it's been. Again, another roller coaster for this show. Some really exciting guests coming up in the coming weeks. The show is TV editing is coming together. Kevin's on stage. He's going to be talking about that, which is really cool. Sean Hurwitz from Smash Mouth is actually here to support. I love that. Incredible. And Killian, our dear friend Killian, how are you today, Killian?
I'm halfway through stuffing my face with my dinner because
I think
this is my ritual, you see, for the Sync Report. I was thinking maybe I'd try and do a few stretches, get into my spandex, that type of thing. I get into the spandex, but it's only to give me a bit more space when I'm shoving food into my face, you see. So that's kind of my ritual for the show. And then I open the mic and talk with a full mouth of food, and then I close the microphone and just listen to the rest of the show.
It's why we pay you the big bucks to join us every week. Well, that's the thing. It's like I'm kind of getting into my flow, right? I light my candles. I got the incense going. Start off with a coffee, but I have like my rack of beers waiting for me to get into them. So nice. Yeah, I'm feeling it. I like my, you know, I got to sort out. Someone has to do craft services for me though. I'm going to get stropping. We're going to be listening to songs. You and Milfredo, Kevin, you guys are going to be listening to songs for the TV show and the podcast.
That's exciting.
Kevin, the boss, actually, the boss man himself is here.
Hi, Kevin. I'm here. I don't know about the boss man, but I am here.
I hear you've been in Miami winning awards. What's going on?
Yeah, I do get an award tonight for my podcast.
Oh, that's so cool. Congratulations. What podcast is that, Kev?
It's called Screen Heat Miami. Yeah, you can find it on any platforms, but you can go to screenheatmiami.com. It's an entertainment podcast, so we interview like everyone from filmmakers to producers, writers, directors. We've done a lot of Oscar winners, Emmy winners, really popular. So
thank you for finding time for us on your big night. That was for you, Paula.
Oh, I feel so special.
You are special.
Thanks so much.
Well, it's really because you're the gatekeeper. We're all dying to know who's on stage tonight.
Ah, well, Jason, this week we have Craig Ross on the show.
Oh, my God.
Craig Ross is an American guitarist best known for performing and recording with Lenny Kravitz.
Yay!
But actually, by age 16, Craig was already playing the LA clubs and had formed a band called The Broken Homes. While still in high school, Craig had already opened for musicians like Stevie Ray Vaughan, INXS, Guns N' Roses, and Jane's Addiction. The Broken Homes made 3 records for MCA and worked with producers such as Andy Johns of Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stones fame. But then, the Go-Go's Kathy Valentine facilitated a chance meeting in LA, in an LA pool hall with Lenny Kravitz, which led to a long-term relationship.
So cool.
Should say friendship, association, maybe. Craig went on to become an integral part of the Lenny Kravitz sound, his lead guitarist and songwriting collaborator since the early 90s, touring together in 1991 for Mama Said, and then joining Lenny in the studio, co-writing and playing all the guitars on the track Are You Gonna Go My Way, which, as we all know, is a rock anthem, which made Lenny a superstar. Craig has forged an impressive body of work alongside Kravitz that includes 9 albums, numerous singles and B-sides, and countless tours, including Glastonbury Festival here in the UK in 1999. Craig has written and played on every Lenny Kravitz album since, as well as recording with Sheryl Crow, Mick Jagger, B.B. King, Eric Clapton, The Black Crows, Nico Costa, and many more.
Incredible.
And he's on our show tonight.
Unbelievable. And who's the genius that booked this guy? Actually, Paula, you're going to love Craig. He's a gentle-hearted musical giant who is that guitar-slinging rock star who's lived a life on the biggest of stages, yet remains totally grounded. A loving, supportive father, a magnetic personality. He just makes you want to hug and kiss this guy. He's just amazing.
I can't wait. I've seen him actually on stage several times because I've seen Lenny Kravitz several
completely
times.
Completely electric, right? Is he just amazing to watch?
Amazing. It's the best. The whole Lenny Kravitz live, so all the band, they're just incredible.
It is one of the best live shows. All right, let's quit screwing around. A warm welcome to Craig Ross.
Welcome to the show, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Hello. How's it going, Jason?
I'm good. How are you today?
Great, thanks.
How's the weather in Eleuthera?
It's hot again today.
Hot again? Are you in a sarong? I lived in a sarong when I was in Mallorca. I don't know how you're doing it without.
Yeah, I don't think they wear sarongs in the Bahamas.
But you would look so good in a sarong. I'm fantasizing, Craig. I'm sorry.
One of these days.
One of these days. But look, we got so much to cover. I mean, talk about an incredible journey. But I want to, you know, we played Zeppelin because I kind of want to bring it back. And I'm going to bring it back to even further. So you're actually an LA boy, born and raised.
That's right.
You get into music at an early age, but such an interesting entrance. You know, it's album covers that grab your attention first.
Yeah.
Tell me, what albums did the family have in the library?
Well, yeah, my mom had, you know, a bunch of records like everybody did back then. But, you know, it was mostly like Frank Sinatra and some like easy listening jazz and things like that. But she had two or three rock records, and that really caught my eye because, you know, I was a kid, and she had Sgt. Pepper, which has that, you know, super colorful
cover.
Yeah. And she had Jimi Hendrix smash hits. It's the one where it's like a cowboy scene. They're all dressed like cowboys.
Right.
And they're on horses and they got guns. And I was like, well, this looks cool. And Yellow Submarine, that was a very cartoonish cover anyways. That I was intrigued by just the looks of those, and those are the ones I started listening to. And, you know, especially Sgt. Pepper. I mean, I just listened to that every day for years.
It's such a great album.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It just keeps going.
So what age then do you pick up the guitar?
I was 8 years old.
8 years old. Incredible. So 8 year old Craig Ross is absorbing album artwork, which, what a drag. I mean, compared to what we're seeing now, that simple glamour shot on the cover of most albums, it's a shame that, you know, we're not making more of an effort these days with our covers. But you're watching television and you're watching Bay City Rollers and Shang-A-Lang, a TV show, and the Partridge Family. I'm going to get into this because Chris alluded to this earlier. What's going through your mind as you're seeing music being played on television?
Well, I just thought that they look so cool, especially the guitar players. And that's when the kind of bell rang off in my head that that's what I wanted to do, you know. And the Partridge Family, they were on like every week, and they were kids too, and they were playing. So Right. It was, you know, it didn't even seem like it was...
I can do that.
It's like, you know, it's like baseball. You know, you see other kids play baseball. You're like, yeah, I can try that. So anyways, that's what really spurred me into wanting to pursue this, is like something that, you know, that I do. Like that's...
And
I just saw that and I said, that's what I want to be.
After, you know, at this point, you're mastering the guitar. You're obviously like starting to see concerts live. And I believe Chuck Berry was one of your first shows that you actually saw Chuck Berry performing live.
Yeah, my mother took me to see him in LA in the Valley at this club. I mean, that just blew my head off. And he, you know, he became my favorite guitar player. And it was the first time I'd ever, you know, seen anybody do it for real. And, you know, he was such a character anyways and a great showman. And and then, you know, later on, I found out how he influenced a lot of the music that I came to know and love. And yeah, he was my first concert. And, you know, I'm still a huge fan.
Amazing. Oh, that is honestly, I mean, again, you know, you're just, your choice in music is so stellar. So what age are you at that point, Craig?
I don't know. I must have been maybe 12, something like that.
12 years old. I mean, this is, you're just so, so far headed. An axe man like yourself just loves that sound. I mean, must have been a huge influence for you.
Oh yeah, totally. And, you know, a lot of other people and people that are not even of my generation, older generations, they, you know, he was like one of the first. So
now let's skip ahead to 16. That's a huge leap, right? 16 years old, you're actually like in bands and playing, you know, some of the most notorious clubs in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we were playing, you know, clubs like the Troubadour and, you know, some of the punk clubs and the Whiskey, and, you know, and most of these places, you know, I had to go in through the back door and couldn't really...
You're underage.
I couldn't enter the club, but they would let me play. So I would, you know, I could play and then leave through the back door. But we did that quite a bit. We played as much as we can, and, you know, mostly Monday nights and empty houses. But yeah, all through that high school time, we were just playing clubs.
Incredible. And, you know, funny enough, next Thursday, we have Danny Saber, an old classmate, I think an old bandmate. And he actually was telling me you were playing on some of the last Hutchins tracks that he was producing and writing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I saw him in L.A. a couple years ago. Yeah.
And so, how did that relationship start? It started with a jazz band?
Yeah, we were in jazz band in high school. It was Taft High School. And, you know, there was all the guitar players were kind of rock guys. You know, Danny was like, he was kind of like a heavy metal guy. And I was doing my Chuck Berry thing. And but you know, that was the only class in high school that I was interested in, and it was the most fun. And so anyways, I got to know, you know, I hung out with Danny quite a lot in high school, and we used to play. You could ask him about Valley West Concert Club, because he had a band and he would play there and I would play there, and we'd play at on a school quad and all that kind of stuff.
So cool. Yeah, he's actually messaging me right now. He was going to try to tap in and say hello. He's stuck in some traffic. Of course, he's in Los Angeles. Tell Chris hello. Tell him I love him. I miss him. Craig, excuse me. I said Chris. So yeah, I'm sure you'll be hearing from Danny after you get off the stage tonight.
Yeah, awesome. But he's a cool guy.
Well, look, we have so much more for you. I'm going to bring up my co-host now and pass the mic. Rose Ganguza, our godmother and yours. Please, Rose, carry on.
So nice to hear your stories, Craig.
Oh, thank you.
Were you doing like Battle of the Bands when you were younger, or what? How were you guys getting noticed?
Well, it was, we would go to we would make a tape, get studio time somewhere. We wrote our own material and just literally go to some of these clubs and submit a tape. And of course, you know, Mondays, Tuesdays, it's not like they had full lineups and stuff like that. So, you know, we were always allowed to play.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, on those kind of nights. So, you know, it just gradually went from there, and you know, and then we got better nights, and then we got better opening slots and all that kind of stuff.
Years ago, I worked on a film called Almost Famous, and it was kind of like, when I was listening to you and how young you were, it reminded me of the main character in that film.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite movies. It's so
one
good.
Of my favorites too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how young were you when you got your music into Born on the 4th of July?
That was probably, I was in my early, very early 20s by then, I would guess.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, we signed to MCA Records, and there was Kathy Nelson was working there, and she was really big with soundtracks. And she liked the band a lot, so we got a lot of opportunities.
How did that, at that time, did that help propel you in your music, being part of a big studio film like that?
I'm not really sure how it impacted what we were doing, but I mean, it was certainly a plus. We had a couple opportunities like that. We had a song in a movie called Weird Science.
Yes, that was my next one.
Yeah, and all those things, you know, were just great opportunities for us. But, you know, just to be part of that and to be on these soundtracks.
Yeah. I mean, even like, you know, if you look in the history of film, especially films with music in it, in many cases, the soundtracks outperform and outlast the film revenues. And something like Dirty Dancing, the soundtrack made as much money as the film made, the soundtrack made even more.
Right.
You know, so it's become a very big thing for filmmakers. No. Yeah. And then you did Miami Vice, I believe, as well, right?
Yeah, we got a song in that. I think it was the episode that even Miles Davis was in, which is really cool.
Very cool.
I mean, all that stuff was great, because you could, you know, you'd be in the movie theater, or even now when that movie comes on cable or whatever, and you know, it's like there's these great moments from way back, you know.
How has that kind of involvement between music and film, do you feel, changed from that time to now, in terms of how do people approach you today with film projects, and as opposed to the way it was when you were doing those films?
Well, I could be wrong, but I think back in those days, you know, the soundtrack album was an important part of those kind of movies, the big movies like Beverly Hills Cop and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that was they made a priority of, you know, making a record that could sell really well.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's the same anymore, where you know, they're such two different entities.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in music in a movie now, maybe it's part of the movie.
It's not less important. It's just how it's looked at now. And because the industry has become so dissected, sometimes, especially independent filmmakers, they sell the soundtrack rights to make money to be able to make the film. And then if the soundtrack is really good, they don't even participate in the profit or anything, because they pre-sell it. there are a bunch of groups, especially in LA, who go out and just go through whatever films are on the board and are about to be made, and they pre-buy the soundtracks.
That's interesting.
For very little money.
Yeah, right. That's, I guess that's a difference too.
A different, very different. Yeah. Have you ever had a piece of music that generated a story that inspired someone to do a film or a television piece or anything like that?
Not that I know of, no.
Well, there are probably people out there who were inspired by you, I'm sure.
I always loved the films that had, like, the soundtrack had a real stamp to it. You know, that there's like Paris, Texas, and Apocalypse Now, and
yes, just, oh my God, yes.
You know, and all those films just always seem to be my favorite films. They're always tied to musical moments as well. You know,
yeah.
Scorsese films, obviously.
Well, he keeps doing the same Stones.
I know.
Record over and over.
It's pretty amazing.
It's incredible.
It's actually funny.
It's his mark. I worked with Marty over the years, and yeah, they're very. And you know, a lot of people don't know how really important his music documentaries were. I mean,
oh, I love those.
I mean, yeah. His music documentaries are incredible.
Yeah, I practically learned how to play watching The Last Waltz back when it was on cable when I was a kid.
Yeah, and the Bob Dylan one he did, and the one he did on George Harrison. I mean, they're all
amazing.
Yes, and then he did like a whole series for PBS on jazz and the blues.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, just incredible. We were involved in that. But I mean, you know, just amazing. And now, I mean, do you actively think about doing anything for films, or, you know, is any of the music that you're doing now good for film tracks?
At the moment, I've been working with Lenny quite a bit, so that's for him. But I've always been fascinated with one day maybe having the opportunity to help to score something.
And to score
something that's, you know, that's got a point of view that also fits with the film, but something that melds together in a way that is very cohesive. And I mean, I would love to do that. I experimented with that just with no particular film, but an opening would be awesome. And, you know, I've played around with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think now, especially the younger and indie filmmakers, the emerging ones that are coming up and really making their mark in the industry, they're very savvy about music. And I think when they go to artists, they really think about that artist scoring their film, you know, and really creating the entire musical language for the film, which impacts so much to what you're shooting.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
That's really, really important.
When it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, that's the way everybody is thinking. Hey, Jason, I'm going to hand Craig back to you because I know you guys have a long history and a lot more years to explore.
Oh, I could listen to you guys talk all day, and I'm just, you know, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat thinking, which film is Rose have in mind for Craig Ross?
to be discussed.
Oh, incredible. Thank you, Rose. Actually, let's...
Thank you, Jason.
Oh, your name. Angel. Craig, tell us a bit more about The Broken Homes and getting signed to MCA. That must have been a really exciting moment.
Well, I guess the beauty of being signed to a big label back then is we had decent budgets to record. And so along with the decent budgets and the excellent studios we were in, we had the opportunity to hire really good producers. And like the very first stuff that we did, we had the opportunity of having Ian Hunter and Mick Ronson as our producers. And Mick Ronson was a complete hero of mine, that Ziggy Stardust record. So, you know, I got to spend time with him and learn from him. And we had a producer named Tony Berg, who's incredibly influential in the way I play on records, because, you know, he was a session musician for so many years, and he really taught me a lot about making a record and orchestrating guitars, all that kind of stuff. And we also had Andy Johns, who worked on more records than you can imagine, but definitely my favorites, like Exile on Main Street and Zeppelin IV.
Okay, two questions for you, Craig. You must have been exposed to some amazing instruments during this time, hanging out with these mind-blowing producers. Can you tell us what guitars you're playing and what you're currently playing? And question two, Is there a correlation between these music architects and your current playing style?
Definitely a correlation. And the reason that, like, Andy, for example, started coming up with these stories was I was at that point in my life where I was learning Jimi Hendrix. I was learning how to play, you know, Stones. I was learning how to play things like George Harrison. And we got to rent these amazing guitars back then, you know, stuff that I certainly at the time could never afforded to play. And, you know, like, you play a great old Strat and it's like, wow, maybe I'm gonna play a little Jimi Hendrix now and see what that sounds like playing it on a real guitar of the right vintage. And, you know, I would do things like that. And I knew Andy had made a few records. I didn't know the extent of what he had done. And so, you know, I'd be playing a Jimi Hendrix thing and then he'd just say, oh, I was there when we did that, and, you know, pick up this great acoustic and I'd start playing and he would go, well, that sounds like Stephen Stills, this record that I made with him. And it just, you know, it just blew me away that somebody had been all those places. And not only that, you know, was encouraging me. So, you know, I'd be playing maybe a guitar solo for a track and he'd go, you know, that went really well. Then he'd start talking about, well, you know, when Jimmy Page did Stairway to Heaven, we didn't know if that was good. And we kept asking each other, you know, is that any good? Or is this bad? Or is this good? And, you know, just little stories like that. People would walk in the room because, you know, Andy was in there, you know, like I was trying to play a guitar solo and Eddie Van Halen walked in and it was kind of surreal. I was living in a house in LA. I was renting a room from Kathy Valentine, who was in the Go-Go's, and her boyfriend at the time was Clem Burke, who was the drummer in Blondie. And she, the Go-Go's had broken up and we were just really good friends. And, you know, there was a period of time when there wasn't a whole lot going on. So we would go and shoot pool quite a bit. So one night we were at this pool hall in Hollywood and we walked in and there was a guy there with bell bottoms and obviously Lenny Kravitz. And Kathy said, I know that guy because Lenny used to hang out at A&M Studios and the Go-Go's were, that's the studio that they worked at. So Kathy, you know, knew Lenny when he was a kid and was always very friendly to him. And so she went up to him and said, hello, you know, do you remember me and all that? And it came up that he was looking for a guitar player. And Kathy said, well, you know, I was on the other side of the room playing. And Kathy said, well, I think that's your guy over there. And, you know, Lenny came over immediately and looked me up and down. And then he said, well, why don't you finish your game and meet me at this house? So I went over there and he had a couple guitars and his record Mama Said had come out a couple days before we met. And I really liked his records. So I had already listened to that record and we started playing around and he'd say, let me teach you this song. And I pretty much knew them. And so we just played around and he said, meet me tomorrow morning. And that was it. We've been working ever since.
I was lucky enough to wrangle two of my favorite guitar players on stage. Unfortunately, Sean Hurwitz is in flight on a way to a massive festival, and we hope that he has an incredible show and keep safe, please, Sean. But Derwood Andrews has also taken time to say hello. Derwood from Generation X and Westworld, and I mean, just this guy is incredible. I just wanted to make the introduction between these two guys and yourself, Craig. Derwood, are you there?
Cool.
Can you unmic and say hello to Craig?
Yeah, man.
How's it going?
Hey, Craig, doing well, man. I've got to say, that Mick Ronson thing was like...
Isn't that insane?
That should be an alarm clock for every guitarist.
I mean, it's so much
Wake
more
up.
Intense by itself. Yeah.
I'm going to email exactly. That to both you and Craig. You'll both have a copy of that in the morning.
Oh, dude, that was so great. But also, Craig, nice work, man.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, always dug it. And especially the look with the hair and the...
So cool.
And the stance. It's very important. You know?
Totally.
Yeah, it is. I learned that from bands like yours. I mean, I loved the first couple Generation X records. I loved them.
Really?
And yeah, wow. and you were actually, influence. Big influence.
Really?
Yes.
Dang. That's so crazy.
I love those first couple records.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I love that. Derwood, you are such an icon and legend, and we're so blessed to have your friendship and you participating in our rooms. Thank you, D.
No, it's a real honor.
Oh, well, I'm blown away. I'm going to get back to making my snake fence because the weather's pretty good right now. But I'm still listening, so I'll be listening. But pleasure right, to meet cool. you.
All right, nice to meet you.
Awesome.
You too, man.
This has been incredible. And actually, I can't let you go because somebody's trying to figure out how to join our room to say hello to you. Okay. So what I want to do is now open up the room, open up the stage to anybody in the audience that has questions for Craig. Raise your hand. We'll bring you up. This is your opportunity to say hello to a legend. Yeah, I think we got Mark on.
Oh, man. This has been so cool. Thanks for coming on, man. And playing and just being so humble. Just love that. Love the stuff. And I just want clarity. Are you still working with Lenny?
Yeah. We're still at it, even though, you know, we can't really tour yet. But yeah, we're still making music.
Oh, that's awesome, man. So you're on the 5 record. You're on every record, right?
Yes. Well, most of them. Since after Mama Said, I'm somewhere on all of them. Yeah.
That's just my personal fave. And,
Thank you.
I was just like, playing for all my friends. I'm like, guys, listen, check this out. So good, man. Iconic.
Thank you.
Great stuff, buddy.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks, Mark. Man. Welcome, Vessi Mink, the most talented friend I have at the moment. Hey, Vessi, welcome to the stage.
Jason, hi. Hi, everybody.
You got something to say to Craig?
Yes, I do. You blow me away, and I just want to know more now. I want to see the documentary, the movie, and I want to help write some music for it.
Craig's documentary. Oh, I think that's a good idea.
Yes, because Rose said, I mean, all the stories that you told, I was like taking notes like a crazy person. And, you know, Tony Bird gave me a demo deal before Virgin closed, but through my friend Chris Penn, who actually passed. Tony, right. I went and recorded like 17 songs at his studio when his daughters were really little. And now they're like amazing songwriters and in bands and touring and, well, when touring was going on. But just so great to meet you and learn of you. And yeah,
deep bow
of respect, man.
We must have been there around the same time, I guess, if the daughters were young.
So I came in. In 98, and I was 1008 in January. So
I was a few years before that. But yeah, he's such a nice guy. Yeah.
Well, I was busking, and I met Chris Penn that way on the Santa Monica Promenade, and we became friends.
Oh, wow.
And I worked for David Berwald at the Palindrome Studios in Venice. So that's how I got into Tony's office with a demo, with a record, actually. Yeah, and he signed it. Cool. Well, I won't take any time. I would love to learn more about you, and just amazing to meet you. Thank you, Jason.
Are you kidding? Thank you, Vessi. Amazing. I had no idea you were connected to Tony. Tony is not only another legend, but one of the nicest guys, and his daughter Z is an incredible musician. So yeah, Google away, everyone in the audience. Make sure that you're following, everybody better be following Craig at this point, and everybody on this stage. Yeah, this is absolutely incredible.
Perfect. Thank you for that. Hi, Craig. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dan.
Craig, I know you wrote and worked with Lenny on Are You Gonna Go My Way, which has just turned into an iconic hit and riff and guitar solo. It's an epic guitar solo that, you know, lots of stars have air guitar too. When you guys wrote that and you recorded that, did you think it was going to be a big hit? Did you feel the energy of that song?
Me? Yes, actually did. I remember driving home going, well, that was something. And then when it was finished, I just had this really, really good feeling about it. And you're right when you talk about the energy, because that's the reason that I thought, oh, maybe there's something here, because it definitely, the recording did capture the energy of that moment, which was, you know, which you always hope for.
No, you're right. I mean, I used to listen to it all the time, and then now it's just like, when I heard it today, it gave me that energy again. So it was just fantastic. And you also have some other epic solos that are incredible. And then, you know, you've played with a lot. You've had the benefit, you know, obviously being a legend with Lenny, you've had the benefit of playing with Eric Clapton and, you know, so many other artists. Is there anyone that's Prince and, you know, Stevie Wonder and Madonna? Is there anybody else that kind of stands out with you that you, when you've played with Lenny or with yourself?
Well, I mean, Prince was a big one because, you know, we went to Paisley Park and we jammed, and he was around quite a bit. There's just so many people over the years, you know, Iggy Pop, Mick Jagger. I'm a big Stones fan. It's, you know, I've been very lucky in that way because all these people are very drawn to Lenny. And so I've had the opportunity to, you know, either record with them or spend time with them. It's great.
I also like your Broken Home stuff. I really appreciate
that.
I got some of it on vinyl. So last question.
I think it only exists there.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why I don't have it. Well, I'm probably almost as old as you then. Last question. Are you guys, I know you guys are recording, you perform with Lenny a little bit over this pandemic and strange year. Any other, you guys working on some music, any rocking tunes coming out? Like, you know, Are You Gonna Go My Way? You guys working on anything?
I mean, yeah, we're working on a whole bunch of kind of things. So hopefully, depending on what comes out. But yeah, it's like us. Ooh, sounds like us.
New music on the horizon. Dan, thank you. Before we bring Colleen to stage, the multi-talented musician, producer, score, arranger, sync master, my friend, and actually, more importantly, Craig Ross's friend. How's it going, Danny?
Good, good. Yeah, I'm actually, the most impressive thing is I set this friggin' app up between the time you sent me the invite and...
Incredible. Thank God for Paula, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, it was kind of weird trying to get it all set up and then trying to kind of figure out, you know, is this actually working? Am I doing this shit right? Can Craig still hear me? Is Craig still on?
Yeah, what's up, dude?
What's up, man?
How's it going?
Good, good. Really good. Really good. You know, actually quite good. Better than the last time I saw you.
We were talking about you earlier. We're actually talking about the Hutchins track.
Yeah, no, Craig helped me so much with that because have you ever heard the finished version of it? Did I ever send it to you?
I don't know if you ever sent it to me.
I got to send it to you. Yeah, no, Craig basically arranged. It was one of those things where you'd have a bunch of parts and you know you got something cool and it's like the arrangement staring you right in front of the face. Craig listened to it in 5 seconds. No, he's like, dude, that's your chorus. Bam, 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 bam. And then it was like, oh, yeah. You know, I've done that for a million people, but sometimes, you know, you need someone to do that for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was it like, you know, for you guys? Obviously, you went to school together. You played jazz band together. You know, what was it like those years later to reconnect and be in the studio making music again?
I think the cool thing for me was, you know, like Craig was sort of up and high rolling with Lenny Kravitz. And I think the first time we actually ran back into each other was in London. And you were playing with Lenny and I came down to see the show. And said, Craig, you know, it was just kind of crazy seeing each other in London. You know, it wasn't really that long after high school if you really think about it.
True.
You know? Though then it seemed like it was. But and then we just keep bumping into each other periodically over the years. And, you know, it's one of those things when you go to high school, especially, you know, in jazz, we were in this jazz band class together and it was pretty funny when you, you know, Mr. Camp.
Mr. Camp. Yeah, he's the only teacher I remember his name. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He was so awesome. You guys, if you've ever seen All That Jazz, he was like Bob Fosse. You know, he was like Roy Scheider.
He's right. He muted himself. But he's right about that. He was like Bob Fosse.
And you know what's incredible? I mean, how do two guys that go to the same school in the Valley end up working with Mick Jagger, the Stones? I mean, there's so many. Danny's worked with Bowie. You're working with Mick. I mean, this never happened. This is just absolutely incredible. There must be something in the water in LA. I don't know what it is, but both of your journeys have just been epic. And to have you both on stage reconnecting right now is the highlight of the Sync Report at this point.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, it's so great to, you know, for someone you know that long and to see that they're doing well. And that's great.
Ugh. Yeah, but the truth is this, like when we were in jazz band, because you know how it is in high school. I mean, Craig was probably like, if you know, who's the dude that's going to make it? There was Paul Peterson, who was already like a rock star. He peaked too early. He peaked in high school. But Craig, at least to me, you were always the dude who was like, had your shit. Like, you knew Craig was going to do something in music if he chose to. You know, he was where I was the sort of outlier, weird class clown. Who then, like, he would do stuff in the first, like, bring a distortion pedal to the jazz band. It was like you'd read charts. So you'd go around, they'd do the head, the horn section, they'd play the head, and then everybody would take solo. And there was, like, of course, there was like 30 guitar players, 2 bass players, 1 piano player, and like 80 drummers, you know? So if you got to play once a week, you were lucky. And I remember one time I went to do my solo and I brought a distortion pedal. And when it came time to do the solo, somebody reached down and turned the gain all the way up. So I go step on the distortion pedal and it's just like, he's like, oh, hey, Alice, you know? And it was just so, he used to call us Alice and it was just, he stuck by himself. But by the second year, there were like 1,000 guitar players. And there was no piano player and like 100 drummers. So I started playing piano and Mr. Camp was awesome, man. You're right, dude. He's that one teacher you remember from high school who actually made a difference in your life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible. And so for everyone, next Thursday, Danny is our featured guest. And when you hear his journey, you're going to be blown away. You know, you have no idea the power on this day. Danny, thank you for taking time to join us today, and I can't wait to get into your story next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Jason. Yeah. And Craig, let's catch up.
I'm going to send him your cell number right as soon as we get off this thing.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
All right, you guys. Great.
All right.
I love you, Danny.
See you later.
Thank you.
We'll catch up, Craig. Yeah. All
right, thank you, Danny. Before we move on, and of course, we're going to get into the sinks in the second hour, but I have to make one more introduction for you, Craig. Jennifer is on stage. It seems like Jennifer might have a question for Craig.
Hi, everybody.
Hey,
Hi. Hey,
hello.
How's it going? Hi, Craig. So nice to meet you.
And likewise.
So nice to just be a part of this and totally fangirling and learning a whole bunch of stuff I didn't know about you and being totally amazed. I have a question that I don't think anyone's asked. I would like to know, are there any artists, fellow composer, musicians, people that you have yet to work with that you would like to work with, put out there in the universe and we could see that all happen?
Is there anybody left, Craig? Who have you not worked with?
Right?
I've worked with Bob Dylan.
Whoa.
I mean, that's just the stuff of dreams, you know, but.
And I could actually Bob, hear that I mean, in my head. Oh, how beautiful would that be?
I mean, that would be a dream. But it's the people that I admire, they're still my old heroes, you know. So, I mean, if I had ever had a chance to play with the Beatles, of course, take that in a second.
But
that's also kind of obvious, you know. Everybody, I'm sure, wants that. But there's people like that.
Maybe Paul McCartney's ears are burning
thinking,
right now.
I'm just thinking, how are we going to make this connection?
I mean, he's got excellent guitar players in his band, but...
Yeah, Brian Ray, he's amazing.
It would be a dream. Oh, yeah, he's a good friend, and Rusty's incredible, and he's in good hands.
Are there any other contemporary guitarists, like in the last decade or so, that you think have really made an impact on the community and that you admire or really are into?
I like Gary Clark a lot. I like what he does, and I like his sound, and I like him. There's a guy named Doyle Bramhall, who's an excellent guitar player from Texas, who I've worked with. And, you know, that's, I don't know what more comes to mind at the moment, but...
That's a tough question, though. I mean, especially after you've played with so many, I'm
still a fan, but I don't know if I don't see as much guitar music or I'm not as exposed to it as much as I used to be, and I don't want to be out of place and say maybe there isn't as much of it anymore. Or
we're gonna start turning you on to some amazing guitar players then.
Yeah, I mean, I would love that.
Jennifer, what a wonderful question. Thank you for adding to our story tonight.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Craig. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
I did have a question. This is Kevin. This has been an amazing interview. I've been really anticipating it. I'm a huge Lenny Kravitz fan. Back in my days in front of the camera, I did stand in for him at one point. But just to hear how much contribution that you've had, Are You Gonna Go My Way, one of my favorite songs of all time, and then your musical background, I mean, man, this is just incredible. So my question is related to that. In a lifetime of amazing music and amazing experiences, can you think of maybe one of the most amazing or a couple of the most amazing experiences that you've had?
Yeah, one that comes to mind is Led Zeppelin were going to get one of the Kennedy honors. So and Lenny was invited to do the performance. And, you know, at those events, it's usually like a surprise for the people that are being honored, the people who play on the stage. And anyways, so I got the opportunity, Lenny brought me along to play Whole Lot of Love in front of Jimmy Page and Robert Plant and John Paul Jones, which was nerve-wracking, but it was, you know, that was like a dream come true to actually play that artist's material right in front of them. It was definitely one of the highlights.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then, you know, we used to promote this particular episode, this solo that you were doing in a studio, and I don't know what studio it was, but I mean, I'm sure the rest of the guys know what it was, but man,
that's why you're gonna go my way.
Oh yeah, that was just dynamic. So thank you for giving the time.
Yeah, man.
Craig, this has just been, I want to keep going. You know, I want to go backwards. There's things that are my list I wanted to talk to you about, but our time is running thin. I hope that, you know, in fact, we're about to listen to submissions for the show that we're doing and a couple other projects. If you have the time and you're able, please stick around and listen and chime in. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the songs. You have just been an incredible guest, and I look at you like family. You are a big brother to me, and I absolutely adore you. Thank you, Craig.
Oh, thanks. And it's been my pleasure. It was a lot of fun.
Welcome to the Sync Report.
What a night we're having. Unbelievable. A half hour longer than we expected. That's what happens when you have such amazing talent on the stage. Yeah, you know, just I'm so impressed with this team. But in the meantime, I want to welcome back to the stage the decision makers, actually, for the Sync Report, the podcast and TV show. Of course, my co-host and the man with the plan, Kevin Sharpley and Milfredo Seven, are the men that are deciding what songs would go into our show. Why don't we start to tell our panel what music we're listening to, and should we bring some people up on stage?
We are listening to a song named Wings by a little artist named Nomai. Don't know who that is.
Oh, I'm excited. Let's hear that, Milfredo. Jess, what a beautiful song. Well, why don't you give us a little introduction, Jess, and a little background on the song, and then maybe Kevin. It looks like Milfredo has disappeared.
Hey,
Ooh, sounds
sorry,
like you have a full
I'm trying
house.
To run away from my kids. Fine. I know. I'm like, get away from me for a second, guys. It's all good.
Great. Well, introduce yourself to everybody.
Gosh, okay, my heart's racing. I was not expecting this. I am Jess Rodriguez. Yeah, my artist name is Nomai because I'm very complicated and I can't decide on one name. And yeah, I've been working and kind of diving into music and writing a ton this year and submitting things for Sync and just kind of seeing how my catalog builds. I've been working with, I have like people texting me here in the room, I have friends in the room that I've worked with. And yeah, it's been a wild journey and I'm excited for the opportunities you guys are giving us and just love being a part of the community.
Thank you, Jess. We love having you part of our community. Kev, are you there?
I am here.
What do you think of that track?
What a beautiful song. There's a thumbs up. Move it forward. It has to be
amazing.
On the show.
Amazing. Wow, that was so fast. And I see Killian's mic lighting up with positive notes from you, Kill.
Yeah. Hi, Jess. How are you doing?
Hi. Oh my gosh. Thanks, guys. I didn't even say that I did this with my partner in crime. One of my collaborators is Anel Saucedo. She is from Mexico, but she is living in Montreal. And we've kind of become remote partners. And yeah. And now my son's like naked outside because he was.
I love it. Everybody get naked. I think this is the move. I'm actually stripping off right now. So, okay.
I'm glad I inspired that.
Honestly,
thank you.
I was just going to ask a really quick question if I could, just about because the song's got a really nice kind of ethereal feel to it. And I know that you were saying, Jesse, you've been writing quite a bit recently. Has it become more ethereal as time goes on, or have you been trying different things during the lockdowns?
Yeah, I've definitely experimented in several kind of, not all the genres, right, but several sort of genres. And I have like a growing kind of dark pop catalog. And then there's this side of me too, which has seemed to come a little bit more naturally. And just this song in particular, yeah, it was one of those things that took a while to come out. And then once it did, it was like, that's what this song is trying to be. And we're just really happy with it.
Oh, sounds great.
Well done indeed.
Yeah. Would you guys be able to send that to
so
me?
This is
like now?
So right now.
I mean, I know I'm going to get it eventually.
That's a call to Eric. Eric, so you got your checklist. Jess's track is the first one to get into the TV series and the podcast. And let's drag the next songwriter on stage.
Okay, guys, enough about me. Let's move on to the next song. We have David and Marcy and their song, Face the World.
David, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your songwriter, and the song you submitted?
Yeah, I'd love to. This song was co-written with Marty Helfleisch, who is in South Africa. And a couple months ago, there was a little boy in Zimbabwe who was attacked by a hyena at an overnight church meeting. And he had
his face bitten off.
And then the doctors in South Africa volunteered to help him. And we wrote this song to raise awareness and help promote the links.
I don't even have to hear this track. It's going to be on everything we do.
And so what was really cool, just real quickly, what was really cool was we hired a Zimbabwean group of seven male singers. And so they're singing backups and Marty's singing the lead. And it's kind of East meets Africa and Western kind of world influenced combination of music.
Unbelievable. So Face the World.
Reaching out and allowed to be touched. Together we are stronger. Love the way we are all gifted. Gifts we share with one another. To be brave and courageous. There are hyenas lurking.
Oh my God. I could definitely hear that in the Rob Baza. Phenomenal.
Thank you.
Kev,
so much.
Kill, what do you think?
Yeah. So I lived in South Africa, actually. Yeah. I lived in Cape Town and Joburg. Definitely could feel that in that song. I heard one of my favorite languages, Xhosa, which is also Nelson Mandela's language. But, you know, the blending of sounds and flavors, I really, really, really love it. And I could see a lot of visuals in that. And I feel that there is a place for that song in the show. So it gets a thumbs up for me.
Oh, my God. Incredible. Killian, you're in the hot chair.
Yeah. And if I can just jump in there as well. Yeah. I mean, the nature of this show and Clubhouse, the podcast, the TV show, everything, it's very international. So I think, yeah, it's definitely important to have lots of different musical styles and different genres as part of the whole thing. I just want to ask David a quick question, though, just about the making of the song. I mean, do you like working in the way that we've all had to work recently, sending music back and forth across oceans, across the, you know, internet wires or waves or whatever we want to call them? Is that something you enjoy, or do you miss being in a studio with people?
Actually, I do love this new, you know, what we've been forced to do this past year. I did a CD with a bunch of people, and I still go into studio too. Two quick things I wanted to say about this song that I thought were really cool. So we collaborated with this group from Zimbabwe, and we actually did a video with them too, and it's on YouTube if you want to look it up. They, like you were talking about, I think it was Kevin was talking about their language. They use a lot of like clicks and pops and, you know, and like normally we would like edit all those out. We would try to get rid of them, but it was like that's part of their language.
No, but that language, Xhosa, is what it's called. I mean, you would have to see my mouth doing it. Is one of the most beautiful languages. I mean, it's amazing. So, and to hear it there in the song, and you can feel it actually. I'm a mentor for a boot camp in Kenya. And we just did a presentation yesterday. And so, you know, some of the students also speak Xhosa. And so, you know, being able to really capture that flavor, you know, the flavor of Africa. I mean, you all were able to do it and blend it very well with a different style and a different flavor. I love it. I don't know.
Jess.
You're doing a great job. You're just sending us hits.
And you know what? I want to give the credit, but we did a mass email and said the first five people who respond will play their music. And this just
shows you
the level of talent in this community.
Yeah.
Everybody. Unbelievable. What an incredible show. There's nothing cooler than this gig. And it's because of you guys. I love each one of you and this audience that's filled up with talent all the way to the eyebrows. Yeah, what a gas. Thanks again to tonight's featured guest, Craig Ross, as well as our friends Danny Saber and Durwood Andrews for joining in the conversation. Until next time, take care and be kind.